I'm author and athlete Brad Kearns. Welcome to the Be Rad Podcast, where we explore ways to pursue peak performance with passion throughout life. Visit bradkearns.com for great resources on healthy eating, exercise, and lifestyle. And here we go with the show. I could be accused of harboring a rigid and dated mentality about avoiding outside interventions, but I am going to call bullshit on the increased fascination with substances and prescriptions and new research about whatever it is. Metformin is showing a promise for longevity, and then it's not showing promise and showing some adverse side effects. I want you to exhaust all possible natural strategies before you even form the thought of bringing in outside intervention into your physiology. But when that day comes, when I'm doing everything that I possibly can and my blood numbers are not looking good, that's when we're gonna sit down and make another video, and I'll tell you all about the interventions that I'm choosing. I want to tell you about wildhealth.com. They're an online provider of comprehensive precision medicine and health consultation services. They offer DNA analysis, custom lab panels, extensive medical intake form with family history and lifestyle preferences, and regular online visits with a board-certified precision medicine physician and a health coach whom you can message anytime through their convenient app. Wild Health evaluates your data to determine what you need for nutrition, exercise, sleep, and supplements, and you can experiment, consult, and retest to get everything dialed in. You'll get a cutting-edge epigenetic test of DNA methylation to calculate your all-important biological age and have fun lowering your age over time instead of following the mainstream path to accelerated aging. It's time to strive for awesome instead of just normal. Did you realize that only 6.8% of Americans are deemed metabolically healthy and only 2% are declared optimal? That's disgraceful, but you can turn things around quickly. Please visit wildhealth.com and you will see that this is the absolute gold standard of personalized medicine, and it's available to you right now. Telemedicine available anywhere in the USA. Wild Health is generously extending BRAD podcast listeners 20% off the cost of membership. Just visit wildhealth.com/Brad or use the code BRAD20 at checkout to get 20% off and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/Brad. Okay, it's time for more commentary on the hot topic of performance-enhancing drugs, testosterone replacement therapy, doping, cheating, optimizing. I don't think the Liver King steroid scandal is going to go away anytime soon, and it brings this topic into prominence. I have a lot of strong feelings about it due to my history in the endurance sports and the cloud that hangs over the highest level of Olympic, international, elite sports when it comes to the advantages provided by performance-enhancing drugs, and also have a lot of strong feelings about it because here in my advanced age group, with my athletic goals and my desire to live a healthy, fit, energetic, athletic, long lifestyle, the topic comes into play because testosterone replacement therapy, TRT, is becoming ever more popular, especially for males in my age group. So at this time, I'm clinging to my purist mentality that I have carried with me my whole life, especially dating back to my days as a professional triathlete, where, of course, I had the high moral ground where I wanted to compete fairly. I also had the assumption, the strong belief that my peers, my competitors, were largely competing in a very clean sport. That assumption was proved wrong in a minor way where I think there was some abuse and some cheaters, but for the most part, most of the great athletes I strongly believe were clean. Also, I competed before the era of the red blood cell enhancing drug EPO, which came about to prominence in the late 90s. I quit racing in 1995, and that really blew the lid off of endurance sports in particular because of the huge, profound advantage provided when you use the red blood cell boosting drug. It's like the effect you get training at high altitude. It is known to deliver a 6% performance advantage in endurance sports. So if I go over here off camera to my file cabinet and pull out my folder full of triathlon race results and take 6% off of my times in the 130 races that I competed in over a decade on the pro circuit, I pretty much would have won every single race easily, taken a shower, and come back to shake the hand of the runner-up. So it would have blown the lid off of my standing there in the professional circuit and made a farce of it. And so now what we see in endurance sports is widespread use of EPO and the other performance-enhancing drugs that the athletes are using, or these athletes are not competing. And this tremendous conundrum that the athletes face these days was beautifully characterized in tell-all books, such as especially Tyler Hamilton's book called The Secret Race, written with Daniel Coyle, where he pretty much spilled the beans about what it was like to be a young, hard-driving athlete dreaming of competing as a pro cyclist and doing better and better at the local level and the national level in the U.S. and finally getting that contract and heading over to Europe and getting his ass kicked over and over here in the late 90s when the rise to prominence came of EPO. One of the chapter titles was 1,000 Days, and he titled it that because that's about how long you can last. That's about 3 years. Getting your ass kicked and being a mid-level player until you're finally spit out the back and sent home. So the athlete in a drug-laden professional sport is really faced with three choices, and that is to join the crowd and go on to a doping regimen so that you can compete on a level playing field. The other choice is to go home with your morality intact, and knowing that you didn't want to play under those circumstances. And then the third choice is to continue getting your ass kicked, perhaps whining and complaining about it, but that's not a very appealing choice. None of the three are really that appealing. And boy, when Tyler poured his heart and soul out into that book, talking about the times when the doping testers would arrive at his home by surprise, and he and his ex-wife had to hit the deck and lay still on their kitchen floor for 30 minutes until they rang the doorbell a few times and then put the note saying, we're coming back tomorrow. I'm informing you that athletes in elite international sports are subject to random, unannounced doping testing anytime, anyplace throughout the year. And this is a good way to catch people who are in their training phases, not yet competing, doping their asses off, and then getting clean and showing up at the Olympics and kicking ass. So now athletes are tested year-round with minimal warning. And if you miss a couple tests, you obtain a suspension, just like someone who tests positive. And there were some prominent cases recently. The world champion sprinter Christian Coleman had a two-year ban because his whereabouts were unknown, or he didn't sync with the testing, I believe, two or three times, which creates a suspicion of guilt. But it's also these logistics, the stuff you heard about in my podcast with Shelby Houlihan, who had a very controversial positive doping test and is now serving a four-year ban, one of the great female runners in the world, American record holder. Really sad and a tough circumstance to learn about these nuances. But anyway, the athletes are subject to a lot of testing. And so Tyler would describe like finishing a bike ride and going over the fence, going sneaking through the neighbor's yard, entering through his basement, and then coming into his house that way in the odd chance that the doping testers were at his front door during a period of time when he knew he would test positive. They called it radioactive because they were microdosing drugs like EPO. So it would have a very short period of time where you would test positive, and then the drug would run its course and you would be able to test cleanly, for example, the next morning. So they lay on their kitchen floor for a half an hour, get the doorbell the next morning, deliver the urine sample, and go on his merry way training and optimizing his blood values. So that was a big deal that I fortunately skipped that era of professional sports, because again, those three choices are really disturbing and unfortunate. But speaking of that and the incredible misperception that the public has about doping in sports, I think it's important to deliver my point of view and kind of set things straight. Because basically what we're seeing with mainstream media and the sensationalization of the issue is that these horrible performance-enhancing drugs are so dangerous for your health, and what a bad message to send to the young athletes. And then secondly, that these disgraceful people who are caught are big-time cheaters, and Lance is the most prominent example of cheating everyone out and letting down all the poor little children that looked up to him that were suffering from cancer. And again, we have to understand the perspective that once these sports become laden with performance-enhancing drugs, the athlete is pretty much compelled to look at one of those three doors on Let's Make a Deal, and pretty much you're obligated or compelled to get on your own program so that you compete. Otherwise, we would never hear of the person's name, such as Lance Armstrong. And unfortunately, my favorite soundbite to offer about Lance is that the doping in professional cycling probably harmed him more than any other athlete, because what happens with doping is you are bringing your genetic disadvantages up to a more level playing field with the very most genetically talented and genetically gifted athlete. And that was absolutely, positively, definitely Lance Armstrong. He was a professional triathlete racing on the circuit at age 15, doing extraordinary performances and incredible genetic gifts. And so you close that gap between the genetic freak, for example, that you see in the locker room. I mentioned this on Mark Bell's Power Project podcast. Go down to Grant High School, powerhouse team in the Sacramento area, and look at these 67 young men. And three of them are ripped as hell with barely touching weights because of their genetic attributes. And then as you get into collegiate level sports and the widespread use of steroids, especially at the professional level, NFL and the other strength and power sports, you're talking about guys who were skinny little freaks genetically, and now they weigh 240 pounds at 8% body fat. So it's a way to kind of negate the genetic advantages. And if I bring the example of Lance, he won the Tour de France 7 times in a row. He was the best athlete. They were all doping. They were all pegging their hematocrit. That's what the red blood cell count is. They were all pegging that really high. They were using testosterone to help recover faster, not to get big muscles like a strength athlete, but it helps tremendously for performance and recovery in whatever athletic endeavor you're doing. And so when you peg all these numbers, now the guys who were more fragile had a chance to come closer. So when he won the Tour de France by 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 7 minutes, if the sport were completely clean, he might have won by 20 minutes. I want you to let that sink in for a bit when you think and you harbor these beliefs that, oh, what a disgraceful cheater Barry Bonds was, or Mark McGuire. Well, Roger Clemens was associated strongly with doping also. So the guy throwing that heat in at 99 miles an hour was also enhanced. And so it kind of puts it in a more reasonable perspective than picking and choosing who are all the cheaters, and then the people that say the right things to the media or somehow evade getting caught rise to a different stature. And that goes for Marion Jones, the disgraced female Olympic sprinter who had to turn in her gold medals and make her tearful confession to the grand jury and to the public. Guess who she beat in second place, third place, fourth place, fifth place, sixth place, seventh place, and eighth place in the 2000 Olympic Sydney 100 meter final, 200 meter final? That's right, athletes from all over the world who were very likely, almost certainly involved in doping programs. And if we want to cast some blame, we can blame the organizers of these major sports who have been shown to be reluctant to kick out athletes, for example, in their own countries, because we don't have that trust level that the Eastern Bloc nations, especially before the Eastern Bloc fell, it was clear that they were on systematic doping regimens. We didn't have concrete proof. These athletes would just come in and break world records. The females had tremendous amounts of muscle mass and were swimming and sprinting faster than had ever been humanly possible. And so the USA was compelled to kind of, and the Western nations were compelled to kind of level the playing field. And now we seem to have some great efforts going on in a lot of sports to clean them up and reduce the widespread rampant doping that occurred when the testing was behind schedule, behind the level of sophistication of the athletes. But it's still pretty much of a mess. And you can probably assume, if you want to, if you have any suspicions, that if certain athletes are using in certain sports, it's very likely pervasive. The NFL, especially when you look at the penalties, and including the Major League Baseball that had to go through that major scandal, the penalties are still pretty minor in comparison to a sport like track and field, where an athlete gets one positive test, like Shelby Houlihan is looking at a 4-year ban, missing the Olympics, losing all her contracts, all those kind of things. And the NFL, the last time I checked, maybe my information is dated, but you know, you were suspended for 6 games or something like that. And you were announced, they announced when the testing would occur. So it's like, hey, on Monday, set aside 2 p.m. to 2:30 because you're going to get dope tested, and then the athlete can adjust accordingly. So I'm going off a little bit on the issue in elite professional sports, but I also want to talk about the more applicable issue to a widespread audience, which would be things like hormone replacement therapy, especially when you get up to the advanced age groups. However, the hormone replacement therapy is now filtering down into males, even in their 20s and 30s, especially 40s, 50s. A lot of people are turning that corner and going into chemical optimization for performance, for body composition. And as Liver King shared with his confession, he was just trying to get apparently to the next level from an already extremely high level that he had reached without performance-enhancing drugs, but was complaining of some health consequences of his extreme regimen, where he's known to be working out like a fiend, eating with great precision and restriction, and suffering some adverse blood values and energy and performance consequences. So he kind of turned there looking for an advantage, and clearly went overboard with all those other factors in play that I talked about on the last commentary when I was specifically addressing his case. So back to my point of view that dates back to my time as an athlete, I wanted to be completely free of any outside intervention because I wanted to feel the significance of my current state of readiness, recovery. And that was also including things like avoiding even caffeine, avoiding non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like Advil when I had a sore back or an aching knee. And so my belief was that if I didn't intervene, I could make the best decisions. I could rest and recover appropriately because I wasn't jacked up on caffeine, for example, to get out the door and go on a bike ride with 3 cups of coffee in me. I thought that would be a better approach that would lead to long-term better development, better performance, as opposed to the short-term interventions provided by, let's say, dosing up on caffeine every time you have to work out, or taking the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories to dull, to negate an immediate pain and suffering. And I still strongly believe that in every way, that you want to have minimal intervention necessary and allow your body's natural healing processes to play out. So when I have a migraine headache, which I used to suffer from frequently before I changed my diet to the ancestral approach back in 2009, my technique was to go lay down in a dark room with an ice pack on my neck, or take hot and cold shower sequence and then go down for a nap in a dark room. And there's nothing better than that, unless you're a freaking astronaut or you're the host of the Today Show and you have to get there when the cameras turn on. I think most of us are trying to intervene and temporarily quell symptoms so that we can avoid pain and discomfort at the expense of our body's long-term ability to heal naturally. So the next time you have a sore knee or a sore back or a headache, consider what you're doing when you get that immediate relief from an outside substance, even something over the counter. And then, of course, when it comes to the major chemical interventions, the overriding of the hormonal system with hormone replacement therapy, my belief system tells me that I'm going to have a better chance to do everything possible naturally and be able to sustain that for as long as possible. However, I am trying to maintain a more open mind about this. People that I respect have succeeded tremendously for a long period of time using hormone replacement therapy. Mark Bell, Mark Sisson, both of them freely discussing and admitting to their use of testosterone and other hormone replacements on a carefully controlled regimen. So I think we need to make that important point out of the gate now when we talk about the abuse of performance-enhancing drugs versus a therapeutic regimen to optimize things like testosterone and other hormones in the body. So, duh, abuse of any drug is super dangerous. Those athletes that are trading in long-term health consequences like damage to the liver or increased risk of cancer and all these things that we hear about with steroid abuse and are scared the crap out of it because the congressman is subpoenaing the baseball player and telling him what a bad example they are for young athletes. Of course, that's true that abusing the performance-enhancing drugs is highly sketch, right? You're going to get big, you're going to get strong, you're going to get fast. And of course, you're going to have a lot of risks and adverse health consequences. But optimizing is a whole different story. We have fabulously trained doctors that are doing this every day, helping people live a better life with modern chemical intervention, with very minimal incidence or evidence that you're going to have these terrible adverse side effects from, for example, taking a therapeutic dose of testosterone. I believe Mark Bell said he's been on the sauce for like 20 years. Mark Sisson's been on for 7 or 8 years or something, back when he did his first blog post and interview talking about his hormone replacement therapy regimen. And as a lot of the Liver King criticizers are pointing out right now, hey, man, it's no big deal. Just don't lie to people and, you know, send that message of, you know, being deceptive as a public figure, especially as a health promoter. And other people are making this connection that he's claiming that his physique is obtained by these liver pills that he's selling. And that is a ridiculous twisting of logic and some pretty lame intuitive leaps that the user is going to make if you think that's what's going on here. Interestingly, Liver King never once pitched any of his products in any of his videos on his viral social media accounts. It's all about living the 9 ancestral tenets that he talks about, eating that raw liver, which he shows on a lot of the posts. But I never saw a bottle of pills to date on any of his content. So his effort was to just promote healthy lifestyle to the broad audience and in the process lying about his use of performance enhancing drugs, intervening and overriding, for example, the positive beneficial effects of living by the 9 ancestral tenets. So of course, big mistake. He's paying the price. He's apologizing. He's going to recalibrate, regroup, and I'm sure we'll all get some positive benefit about it, especially just talking about the issue and bringing it to light. Okay, so my aversion to outside intervention also includes healing from surgeries and major things like that. And that's where I found that fine line, that balance, because when I had my emergency appendectomy and some complications afterward, in the months afterward, where I had to have 3 kidney surgeries, that was a rough time for me. I was trying to be a strong guy and avoid any pain medication. But when the pain becomes so bad that it interferes with your ability to rest and recover, that's when even I will reach for the bottle and do whatever it takes to settle down and help to get through it. In contrast, for example, my heel surgery that I had recently for a bone spur, not a major thing, not too painful, somewhat painful, but the healing process that included injections of platelet-rich plasma, that's taking my own blood and spinning it and putting the platelets into the injured area to stimulate a healing response, it was super ass painful. And I was directed to not use ice and not use anti-inflammatory drugs during the recovery process in order to maximize the beneficial impact of the platelet-rich plasma into the area. So now the evolved thinkers on healing want you to experience that inflammation to the full extent. And I would argue the same thing goes when you're experiencing any kind of musculoskeletal joint pain. If that back or those knees are burning, aching, creaking, you got to do something about it. There are ways to jump into the world of physical therapy, performance, mobility, flexibility, rehab, do exercises, get more blood flow. Don't just sit around and rest. I was amused to hear Tiger Woods' recent press conference where he had to pull out of the tournament due to plantar fasciitis, a condition I'm very familiar with because I battled it on and off from moderate to severe for 15 years. And I finally cured it, as you can see from my YouTube video showing the stretches. And he said, My foot, you know, I can hit great shots right now. I just can't walk the golf course. So I really need to stay off it. And Tiger, I'm telling you, if you're watching, if you just stop where you have an injury such as plantar fasciitis, it's going to get worse very likely because you start to atrophy, you decrease blood flow, you decrease mobility. So now, as the great leaders in this space are conveying, like the folks at PT Revolution in Lake Tahoe, who helped me so much through recent injuries, and also Kelly Starrett at TheReadyState.com, we want to elevate, compress, and move our injuries to help support the healing. So with my heel surgery, I'm now doing the voodoo strap around my ankle and working the ankle through range of motion, doing gentle stretches, no more to a pain level of 3 or less. And I will continue to get more and more and more active rather than sit around with my foot at rest and then expecting to return to action after 4 months of atrophy.
Greetings, my fitness-minded listeners. I want to acquaint you with the Primal Fitness Expert Certification Program, the most comprehensive home study multimedia fitness education course in the world. If you want to enhance your personal knowledge of all aspects of leading a healthy, active, fit lifestyle, this total immersion course will be life-changing. I'm the lead instructor and author of the course, and we have 14 chapters of extensive written content with over 100 accompanying videos covering topics such as general everyday movement, including micro workouts and dynamic workstation tips, the full experience of gym-based strength training and all the different modalities, a complete presentation on all aspects of sprinting, both running and low impact options, an assortment of high intensity interval training and high intensity repeat training strategies, a detailed education on the principles and practical application of aerobic endurance training, and extensive commentary, the most you will find in any publication, on all aspects and symptoms of overtraining and burnout. We even have fascinating peripheral topics like integrating nasal diaphragmatic breathing, dynamic stretching, injury prevention, and developing a peak performance mindset. It's really something, this course. We went all out for over 2 years with a great team to develop this amazing home-based fitness education for you. And you get one-on-one expert email support and private Facebook group connection throughout your studies to ensure that you absorb everything optimally and you pass your series of exams and get certified. So go to primalhealthcoach.com/Brad to enjoy a very special limited time. And I'm not kidding. This is a big time discount just for you. 25% off your tuition. A fantastic premium offer at primalhealthcoach.com/Brad for the most comprehensive fitness course you can ever find.
Okay. So, I could be accused of harboring a rigid and dated mentality about avoiding outside interventions, but I am going to call bullshit on the increased fascination with substances and prescriptions and new research about whatever it is. Metformin is showing promise for longevity, and then it's not showing promise and showing some adverse side effects. But we get so excited about these possible scientific breakthroughs. That's what the drug business is all about, is doing research and development and coming out with something that's going to help somebody. A lot of it's for, you know, the disease state and managing disease, and that's fine when you need an antibiotic or something of that nature. That's great. But the vast majority of the prescription drugs out there and the profits, the massive profits made from these prescription drugs, as we know, comes from relief of symptoms without addressing the root cause. So enough of that mentality. I want to pursue the opposite mentality, where I attack the cause with great devotion and try to get my body, for example, stronger and better balanced so that I don't grow another bone spur on my heel from pushing myself and pushing my calf muscles to the extent where they got tight and less flexible and put more stress on the joint. Okay. There was no call for popping an Advil every time I'd head out to run. That just makes things worse. Okay. So I'm going to keep this rigid and conservative mentality for as long as possible, and then finally cave in. And when you need something, such as when I was recovering in severe pain from the surgeries and I couldn't sleep, that's when I'm going to reach for the supplement. Speaking of that, the hormone replacement therapy, I'm maintaining an open mind. I'm realizing this argument that we naturally decline over time, and maybe we weren't meant to live this long. The evolutionary, model is that we live long enough to reproduce, and then we can be discarded and cast aside. And that might be something to smile about. But I think the point of continuing to evolve is to do better than our ancestors. And so this complete fascination, obsession with living life in the model of our ancestors, we do have to put that aside at times and pursue something that could be better. And so maybe be more active, powerful, energetic, and muscular, and being able to recover and perform more so than my great-great-great-grandfather, who perhaps worked in the factory or on the farm and died at the age of 68, stooped over, or my ancestor from 10,000 years ago, who slipped and bashed his knee on a rock and died from the infection at age 40. I don't care about what happened to those people. I want to be the best that I can be right now. And if that means that I'm going to go to hormone replacement therapy someday, I need to formulate an open mind about that, especially when we have these track records and the success touted from people that I respect, like Mark Bell, Mark Sisson. There's a guy that wrote a testosterone replacement Bible book, Jay Campbell, and he makes a strong argument that, hey, once you go in this direction, you're going to feel better, perform better, you're going to have better libido, you're going to look muscular like him. And that's interesting and compelling to pay attention to. However, here's the big fork in the road that I am going to strongly try to impress upon you. And that is, I want you to exhaust all possible natural strategies before you even form the thought of bringing in outside intervention into your physiology. There are many important reasons for this. One of them is that the enjoyment and the appreciation of the process is what life's all about, right? So if you can take some hormone replacement and go and improve your all-time best weightlifting goals that are so important to you, or take some EPO and some testosterone and go ride the bicycle route, or perform in the bicycle competition better than you ever have before, who cares? It's like the process and doing it right and paying close attention to your diet and preparing your foods and searching for the very best sources of food, enjoying that whole thing, nourishing yourself optimally, pushing and challenging yourself in the workouts, and recovering to the best of your ability rather than short-circuiting things. That's what I feel gives you the most value, regardless of the end result. So could I go onto a hormone replacement regimen and bust out new PRs in the high jump in the 400 meters? Probably so, but I want to do it my way. And speaking of that, I do have competitive aspirations in organized competitions in Masters Track. And so the idea of going to hormone replacement therapy when I'm still an actual competitor, and probably they put in the rules that you're not allowed. I don't know if they test Masters Track athletes or not. I think they do a little bit of testing in, for example, the Hawaii Ironman in the age groups because of complaints that have built up over the years that some of these guys who are 50 or 47 or 63 are looking pretty super ripped and going really darn fast. And so they wanted to have some controls in place. But obviously, athletes know how to escape detection and put up incredible performances. But to what end? We're not talking about millions of dollars at stake here. And so forth. So I don't really care if my competitors in the old man track meet are doped off their ass and I get seventh instead of the third or second place that I deserved. I mostly want to perform and compete against myself. That's why I don't travel all over to do these Masters track meets. I want to do a little bit of that in the future. But for me, like the YouTube, Brad Kern's YouTube High Jump Invitational is all I need to get completely, excited and satisfied with a competition against myself, camera rolling in an empty stadium where all I need is a high jump bar and a pit to land in. And that goes directly to the decision whether to try to optimize my performance by another 5% by taking replacement therapy. So right now, I want to urge you to check off every possible attribute you can
in your overall dietary practices, your athletic training regimen, your fitness regimen, your sleep habits, your rest recovery, downtime restoration, and of course, your stress management. And again, back to Liver King and those emails that leaked, those private personal emails, whoever the hell leaked them, pretty disgraceful scene, but here it is now out and open in the public and he has to address it. But he was talking about some of those drawbacks that he was experiencing, not being able to sleep well, looking at his some of his numbers being suppressed. And it was arguably because of overtraining patterns, you know, overexhausting himself, running these businesses and traveling and being a public figure and trying really hard to build that super strong physique. So it was like a lot of things were out of balance, including the massive intervention with these high levels of performance enhancing drugs, rather than for all of us listening who don't have these extreme circumstances to consider, just tone everything down to the point where you're doing things that you can handle that are age appropriate goals that are rewarding and done correctly and honestly. So I'm going to exhaust all possible basic lifestyle behaviors, practices, and interventions that I can do, including, for example, trying out an assortment of supplements and things that I pick and choose from. And then I have my go-tos that are going to be there most likely for the rest of my life. Things like whey protein and creatine. That's why I put them in my BRAD whey protein superfuel. I think there's tremendous rationale to take in supplement form every single day enough creatine and enough protein to make sure that your needs are being met through the ebbs and flows of your daily dietary practices. I'm also pretty highly optimized with my daily diet. I know a lot of us are pretty busy, maybe not as dedicated and focused on this stuff. So that would be even more justification for finding a role for performance and nutritional supplements in your daily lifestyle due to the convenience factor. So yes, we see the clean, the purest promoters like Paul Saladino shouting at the camera saying, you don't need a protein supplement. You can get it from eggs and steak. Absolutely right. I completely agree. But if I go down and sneak into your house and look in your fridge and there's no pastured eggs in there and you're running low on grass-fed red meat, that's when we want to get realistic. We want to get sustainable. And so we can surround ourselves with the convenience of something like a really high-quality supplement to know that you're checking off these boxes. Speaking of that, when you're on a hormone replacement regimen, you are essentially overriding a lot of that ebb and flow that becomes such a challenge, especially as we get up into the older age groups. So maybe you had a really busy, stressful week of business travel and you're jet lagged and you got lousy sleep and you ate hotel or airplane food. And then you wake up a week later and your numbers are still looking good and you're still feeling strong, alert, and energized. Wow, that is a compelling and enticing option to not have to optimize everything every day and just know that you're going to sail along at that pegged level. It's not going to make you a rip city like Liver King or like Mark Bell or like Mark Sisson. They have to put in that hard work. It's not like taking performance-enhancing drugs or testosterone replacement is magic. And I think that's a point that the public often misses when they look at Liver King and say, oh, he's obviously juiced. Okay, maybe it is obviously an extreme physique, but what's not obvious is how hard the guy trains every single day and how precise his diet is in order to get down to that low body fat level and then leverage all the performance advantages offered by the substances. So we have to have both things going here. Same with the Olympic sprinter that gets busted for drugs or Lance Armstrong realizing that his 7 Tour de France titles were won with drugs flowing around in his bloodstream. Well, he still had to train 5 to 7 hours a day on the bike and practice the climbs over and over and learn every turn going up Alpe d'Huez and all that stuff that gets negated when we say, oh, they did something that was against the rules. So big picture, please, people, realizing that hormone replacement, perhaps if you're doing everything right, you're going to get that 5 to 10% edge. Is that of interest to me right now? Would I like to get a 5 to 10% edge? Sure, of course I would, but I'm not quite willing to just to go there in my morality. And there's no reason to, because I want to be accepting of the condition that I'm in now. The age group and the limitations that I have from my age. But when that day comes, when I'm doing everything that I possibly can and my blood numbers are not looking good, that's when we're going to sit down and make another video, and I'll tell you all about the interventions that I'm choosing. However, these days, as I've talked about frequently, I test my male hormones quite often. You could say I'm obsessed with this, especially as I've been doing the research and development and promoting the male optimization formula with Organs product with ancestral supplements. I test constantly. I think I've been tested like 22 times in the last 3 years, and my serum testosterone numbers have ranged between 550 and 1,008 that I put up last year. And of course, proudly showed that image on social media because it's off the charts in the 99th percentile, even for young people. But that range of 550 to 1,000, I'd say the average is around 700 for serum testosterone. So by any practical indication, I'm not really a candidate for hormone replacement therapy. I'm still doing okay as my natural self. Interestingly, in contrast, when I was training hard on the professional triathlon circuit and pretty much suppressing my hormones, suppressing my immune function, and destroying my health in pursuit of incremental performance gains, my serum testosterone landed between 200 and 300. And this was during the decade of my 20s when I'm supposedly at my peak with male hormones. That's an interesting perspective showing how much performance-enhancing drugs help someone who's training at the highest level. I was trying to train at the highest level naturally, and it was compromising my health and compromising my longevity in a significant way. And so we talk about the PEDs being dangerous to athletes. I would argue if you're a Tour de France rider or you're training at the elite level in professional triathlon or CrossFit Games or whatever the most extreme athletes are doing, those performance-enhancing drugs are possibly minimizing the adverse health consequences of the extreme regimen that you are performing. Same with Liver King. Guy was training his ass off, apparently natural until the dates shown in the leaked emails that he only started doing this stuff in 2021 because he was hanging on by a thread due to the extreme nature of his training regimen. So when I was choosing to be a professional athlete and travel all around the world, talk about stress and jet lag, and the hormones and the suppression, boy, it would have been really helpful to be shooting up all kinds of drugs into my system so that I could handle the extreme jet travel, the extreme training regimen, the extreme level of competition without falling apart constantly. Again, I was competing under the parameters that I thought everyone was dealing with the same thing in terms of jet lag, in terms of the recovery time necessary from competing at these really challenging events with three sports. And so that was the world that we were in. But to transcend that, to override that, wow, it's something to think about that you would be less health destructive under a doping regimen. However, even more healthy would be not to be training, traveling, and living at that extreme lifestyle, toning everything down such that you didn't need that intervention. Okay, I think I've made the important points that I wanted to make here. But I think the big one here is that for those of you in the age groups where you're considering hormone replacement, cut through the bullshit where we've been programmed to think that this is an inherently dangerous thing to do. I think there's plenty of evidence otherwise that it could be, in fact, just promoting a longer, healthier, more active, more resilient, better muscle mass lifestyle. And so people are proving and showing this that there's no adverse health consequences. You may have heard the association between testosterone replacement and increased risk of especially prostate cancer. That is now being unwound to be a little more nuanced, where the hormone replacement, the increased testosterone coming into your body, could exacerbate existing cancers, not just prostate, but other areas of the body. Other than that, it arguably, and there's off scientific evidence and thoughts from the great leaders on this topic too, not just me popping off, arguably pegging your hormones could make you stronger and more resilient against the decline, the demise, the sarcopenia, that's the loss of muscle mass related to aging, all those things that are risks for cancer, heart disease and other insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, other signs of falling apart, getting old, and dying. So, boy, that kind of throws things on its ear in a lot of ways when we're being averse to hormone replacement by the call of minimizing our cancer risk. For example, my father, Walter, who lived to be the age of 97, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer at the age of 84. So he was given anti-androgenic drug regimen. So that would be testosterone suppressing drugs for 12 years until near the end of his life. And I would argue that that regimen hastened his demise. It's great to make it to 97. I thought he was a guy that was on track to go to 107. But in order to control that cancer and keep it contained, because once prostate cancer leaves the prostate area, it can spread to the bones. It can be a really bad deal. Almost all men over age 80, 80% of men over 80 will develop prostate cancer in their life. For many of them, it's not fatal because it is contained. And then their life expectancy isn't that long. So in my dad's case, I believe when he was starting to get dosed at age 84, the idea was to just contain this without surgical intervention or radiation or things that could disturb an older patient and just let him live out his golden years. I don't think there was a prediction that he was going to take this stuff for a dozen years. And when you're taking anti-androgenic drugs for a dozen years, that's going to harm his efforts to, for example, maintain energy, muscle mass, strength, power, things that would help promote lifespan. He actually did a pretty darn good job on all those levels, was playing golf at a high level despite his drug regimen, but I can't say it was a health-boosting attribute to have to take that stuff for that long a period of time. And interestingly, right near his end, there was amazing research coming out from Johns Hopkins Medical School, his alma mater, as it happened. He was a physician. And the research showed that a group of patients in the advanced stages of prostate cancer were dosed with high levels of testosterone replacement and had positive outcomes. And so in other words, giving that increased strength and male hormone, putting that into the body, the opposite of the treatment protocol that my dad underwent, the traditional treatment protocol for prostate cancer for people in that age group, doing the opposite actually had a beneficial effect. Of course, it was too late to try and delve and depart 180 from the traditional medical protocol, but it's an interesting insight to take away. And we're probably going to see things like this coming up more in the years ahead, where optimizing hormones is going to promote that healthy, active, energetic life, provided you do your part with all those checkpoints, diet, exercise, sleep, rest and recovery, stress management, and so forth. Okay, I hope that gives you a healthier, bigger picture perspective about abusing performance-enhancing drugs versus doing a therapeutic dose hormone replacement in search of health optimization and longevity and all the various factors at play. Oh, by the way, if you decide to take a shortcut, forget about all those lifestyle checkpoints. I'm too busy. I just want to go get a needle and feel better with a big testosterone program. There is a downside risk of aromatizing the agent. That means converting testosterone into estrogen. That happens when you are in an unhealthy inflammatory state, as evidenced by the accumulation of a spare tire that's called visceral fat, extra fat around the belly, which is so common among males in the older age groups. So if you are showing signs of systemic inflammation by virtue of the accumulation of abdominal fat, that's showing that your health attributes are not optimal, and you get additional testosterone, your body will convert it into estrogen, and you will be worse off than not doing anything. So the only justification for someone who's not already in pretty good health and fitness level to try a needle hormone replacement is to give a temporary boost so that you will have the energy to get off your ass and start doing some exercise, start doing some resistance training, start walking or jogging around the block or something to change your chemistry from diseased and sedentary and suboptimal inflamed to someone who has that fighting chance to go on through life maintaining a healthy level of functional muscle mass and getting that visceral fat off the body. So it's almost it's akin to my friend who's a plastic surgeon tells people to get down to your best look and then come in and we will do the tummy tuck or other interventions, but not before that. It doesn't make any sense. So the same thing for those of us considering hormone replacement therapy, do absolutely the best you can on every level before we even start talking about it. And I'm going to check back in 5 years because I'm going to keep going strong for now. Thank you so much for listening, watching, and sharing this show. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your results, perhaps, if you want to share one way or the other, if you're on hormone replacement or you have strong feelings about it. So podcast@bradventures.com.
Hey, ladies. You may have heard me talk about Gainswave treatment for improving male penile vascular health and sexual function, and maybe you thought, hey, what about my needs? Well, Gainswave has got you covered with a revolutionary new treatment protocol called Gainswave for Her. As with the male Gainswave treatment, a skilled practitioner uses a handheld device to send low-intensity shock waves into your vaginal area to stimulate a healing response, promote increased blood circulation, and the growth of new blood vessels. After a series of 6 to 12 very brief treatments, which are painless but extremely effective, you get real results with Gainswave reporting an 80% success rate. Some benefits. You will revitalize your intimate relationships with heightened sensation and arousal and enhanced pleasure and satisfaction. Don't contemplate invasive procedures or uncomfortable medical treatments. Regain confidence and reclaim your sexuality with Gainswave for Her. You visit the website gainswave.com, GAINSWAVE.com/Brad, to find a practitioner in your area. You complete a series of treatments, and the beneficial effects will last for a long time, especially if you eat and exercise well to promote overall vascular health. It's a tune-up for your equipment, so please visit gainswave.com/Brad to find a practitioner in your area and take advantage of my special promo that you'll mention when you find your local practitioner. Buy 6 treatments and get one free. Thank you for listening to the show. I love sharing the experience with you and greatly appreciate your support. Please email podcast@bradventures.com with feedback, suggestions, and questions for the Q&A shows. Subscribe to our email list at bradkearns.com for a weekly blast about the published episodes and a wonderful bi-monthly newsletter edition with informative articles and practical tips for all aspects of healthy living. You can also download several awesome free ebooks when you subscribe to the email list. And if you could go to the trouble to leave a 5 or 5-star review with Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to the shows, that would be super incredibly awesome. It helps raise the profile of the BRAD podcast and attract new listeners. And did you know that you can share a show with a friend or loved one by just hitting a few buttons in your player and firing off a text message? My awesome podcast player called Overcast allows you to actually record a soundbite excerpt from the episode you're listening to and fire it off with a quick text message. Thank you so much for spreading the word. And remember, be rad.